Mr. Lowndon, Reel 31. So you woke up in this hospital?
Oh, in Naples, yeah. Yeah, well, I had, I didn't feel too bad, but I was a bit doubtful about the leg. That was what was worrying me more than anything. You know, I wasn't the arm I knew would soon put itself right. But, I was worried about the leg, and I was also a bit worried about my head too. But I managed to get that healed up all right. And but it was the leg. I had a fairly quick operation there because I wanted to. I knew that there was shrapnel on my leg, and I wanted to get it out. And then I had one operation. They weren't entirely successful. They didn't get. There was more than one bit of shrapnel in there. And I found out about it because it became very painful. And after the first one, it became very painful. When I spoke about it, they came out and see me. I told them about it, and they said, "Well, we'd better have a look at it today." So I had a second look at it, and then discovered that there was other things. There was something else there, and they wanted to open me up again in order to get to it. So it meant another operation. So I said, "Well, we're not going to be too hasty," but I said, We will have to do it, and it'll be about another week or so. So I stuck it out. It wasn't too bad. I stuck it out, and when they were ready, they came for me again. And I went in, and they must have got it right the second time. There was some more in there, and they removed it, and then there was a problem of we did have a bit of a problem because you see the leg had already been opened up and stitched up once, and I don't suppose it was very easy for them the second time. I didn't have a lot to perhaps I didn't have a lot to get hold of. I don't know. But it was more difficult the second time anyway. But I thought I felt better my leg felt better. I gradually began to feel better. And then one day, I never bothered to, I looked at the end of the bed. I never bothered to look at them because I couldn't really. And I had this thing over the end of the bed to keep the blankets off my leg. And this bloke told me, he looked at my notes and he said, you're down for the hospital, right? I told you this before.
Yeah.
But anyway, as it turned out, I didn't go. I didn't go. But anyway, I did think at one time I might.
And you were looking forward to going back to England?
Oh, yeah, I did. Because, quite honestly, it wasn't so much of the fact of being wounded, but he was getting on a bit, and I considered that I'd had a bad run, I think myself that would be nice if I could if I could do it, but. It didn't happen, so that was it. And I thought to myself, well, I'll have to take what comes now. But I thought, well, if that's the case, if it's not going to be like that, then at least I want to finish what time I've got left, however long it's going to be, with the DLI. I didn't want to go anywhere else. I was miles and miles away. From being right down in Naples.
Do you think you could have gone to another unit?
Oh, I could have gone. I could have. Well, I suppose I could. I suppose I could have done. I'm not saying because there wasn't any more DNI that I know of in Italy. I don't think there was any.
In the hospital, you were the only one from the battalion.
I don't think there was anyone. I don't know really, but I don't think there was anyone else.
So on your ward, about how many?
Oh, I was the only one.
And who was on the ward? What men were?
Mixed. You know, other units. Oh yeah, but they were all sorts really. They were, you know, different divisions and everything.
They were all British.
Oh yeah.
And it was a British hospital.
Oh yeah, British hospital. Yeah. Oh yeah, strictly British hospital. Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a big hospital that was.
Was the part of the food in the hospital?
It's quite good. Yeah, it's quite good. I didn't have any complaints there. I thought I was well looked after there. Yeah, I thought I was well looked after. I thought that they did. They tried. They did their best. I was a bit disappointed about the blighty bit, but never mind. I was more determined than ever to get. I knew that, like everyone else, really, that at that particular stage, I couldn't see that it was going to go on much longer. From what I knew, the way things were, and the way he was placed, and the way the second front was going, and the whole thing, it didn't seem to me that it was going to. Didn't really, and I think most people thought the same. I think maybe that's not wishful thinking. I think that's just a more common sense thing, really.
So you were on the road to recovery at this hospital. About how long do you think you were there for?
Well, I was away for quite some time then, because I had some pretty I had some convalescing. I had a lot of building up to do there. A lot in there. There's a different. I was under a different sort of. I had to go steady a bit. I wasn't quite sure how things were going to work out myself, even really. But I had to go a bit steady, and I've got to give it to them. They tried. They really did. I had two spells of physiotherapy. I had pretty very thorough physiotherapy, and convalescence and all that. I went through the lot again, But it was worth it because they in the end. They got me, and they got me to the state where I was more or less, wasn't by any means all sort of beans or anything like that, but I was in a lot better shape than I thought I might be, and I really did, I felt fairly good.
So you felt lucky?
Oh, I felt lucky, yeah. I felt lucky, definitely. But, as I say, my biggest headache was that I thought to myself, well, if I can't get back to England, I'll at least finish my time with the battalion. And I wanted to go to do that in view of everything that had happened. But the thing was, I was so far away, you see. And
so how did you get back?
Well, I didn't quite know what to do for the best, really. When I was pronounced fit to leave the hospital, convalescence and the physiotherapy and everything, I said to I had a medical board, kind of board, and That wasn't to downgrade me, but it was just a thorough board.
Can you describe that?
There was more than one medical officer for a start. You know, there was like three, I think it was. And they'd gone through the lot. They had the things like x-rays and recent x-rays and just that and the other. And they'd just gone through the history of the whole lot. And that was more or less what gave me they passed me out, in other words. But, you couldn't really call it a medical board, but I mean, it was more than one opinion there, so that sort of constitutes a board, really. But anyway, they gave me the okay. They sent me to some major. He came to see me, and he said, he said, you missed the hospital boat. He said, what are your plans now? So I said, well, I said, I'm a long way from home. He said, you mean England? I said, no. I said, I know I'm not going to get there. I said, but I'd be likely to get back to my battalion. So he said, oh. He said, have you got any idea where they are? I said, well, give a guess. I said, I think that if they are still in Italy, they will be way up, right up at the top somewhere. And I said, they might even be in Austria. And he said, why do you say Austria? I said, because I think that's where they're going to go. Oh, he said, who told you that? So I said, I'm just guessing. It's just something that I'd heard, you see. But I've been told right. But anyway, he said, oh, well. He said, well, look, he said, we'll give you the okay. He said, we can move on. He said, if I can make a suggestion, he said, you'll have to go into a county camp for a while. He said, maybe a couple of weeks. And he said, I said, the only thing I can suggest to you, he said, is to make a nuisance of yourself to the powers that be in the transit camp and try and get some means of going back up north again. He said, it's up to you now. He said, not much I can do about that. So anyway, that was that. So I went into this county camp, and I'd been in there about a week, and I was in this tent, and seemed to be a lot of people passing the tent all the time, you know, and I thought something happening. So I went to the tent and had a look out. And I see this guy. I said, what's all these people about? Oh, I said, there's a football match on today. Oh, I said, there's who? He said, that Icarly team. Oh, I said, that's funny. I said, they're playing here. He said, yeah. Down there. So I said, I'll go down and look at that. So, I was just going back in the tub and got back in the tent and went for something, and I went back around. And there was just sort of between the tents, you know, and there was sort of people going down, and all of a sudden there was three people came down. There was one in the middle and one on each side. Bryn Jones. Footballer Bryn Jones. So he was playing for the Irish Army team. Mm-hmm. So I said to him, this boat was still there. I said, oh, well, I said, you know that? He said, yeah. No, he said, I don't. I said, that's Bryn Jones. Oh, he said, fancy you knowing that. I said, well, I said, he's Wolverhampton Wanderers. I said, he's an international footballer. He said, he's playing today. Well, he was in the clink. Bryn Jones was in the clink. Because he was a bit of a alcoholic in the army, in trouble with the booze. Anyway, that was his escort that he's come. So, I said, I said to Ted, I said, you going down? He said, no, I said, I'm not going down. I said, I've got a program. I said, who's playing left half? So he said, looked at his program, he said, oh, he said, Norman Dodgson. He said, don't tell me you know him as well. I said, yeah, I do. So that was Norman Dodgson in one day. Anyway.
And he was in the 16th before he went abroad.
Oh, yeah. I knew Norman Dodgson, not off, I did. Yeah. So anyway, he hadn't been with the 16th for a long time. He was one of my Saints, so was Ben Jones. So I said to this bloke, I said to him, I looked at the program, and this bloke had given me this program. So I looked at this program and I saw that they were playing the next match in Rome. That was the next match. That was in 4 days' time, I think it was. They were playing in Rome. There you are. That's just like that in one day. So anyway, I hung around in this county camp, and I found out where the sort of the main office was for people to go and see and that sort of thing. Made myself a bit of a nuisance, and I went down there a couple of times and kept asking about any convoys going up and go with them. And I came out of there. I went two or three times. I went out, came out of there, and I got a bit browned off because I kept going to a no, you see. I didn't get much enthusiasm from there, and I flung this tent thing back to let myself out, and I flung it straight in the face of him. And this officer was outside, and he was just going in, and I was just coming out. So anyway, we sorted that out, and so he said, you wait here a minute. So I thought he was going to give me a choking off, you see. So he went inside, and then after a little while he came out again. So he said, what did you come in here for? So I told him. He was a captain in the Royal Army Medical Corps. So he said, I told him, he said, where's your battalion now? So I said, I don't know really for sure, but I said, it may even be in Austria, or maybe on the way to Austria anyway. But I said, at all events, they're a long way from here. So he said, Captain Jones still with it? I said, that's right, he's a medical officer. Sergeant Griffin, so you know Sergeant Griffin? I said, yeah. I said, oh. He said, give me a couple of days, he said, because he said, I think I might have a convoy going up. I said, I'm not sure. He said, just give me a couple of days. And he said, meet me here, and he was sort of in the area. And he told me where to meet him. And he said, I may have some news for you. So I said, okay. So I felt a bit better then. I thought to myself, well, at least I've got something out of it. Didn't know what it was going to be, mind you, but still. I kept him to his word, and I went down and met him again. So he said, come on, he said, we're going to have a drink. He said, you want to have a glass of beer? I said, yeah. So we ran in the naffy and bought his beer. So he said, well, look, he said, I've got a convoy going up in a couple of days' time. You know, he said, it's going to be in two parts. He said, I should be with the first part, and there'll be somebody else, there'll be a sergeant with the second part. And he said, if you want to come with us, we'll be in the second part. But he said, once we get so far up, he said, I shall go off elsewhere. I shall be leaving the convoy and go elsewhere. He said that your part of the convoy will be going on as if to go up into Austria. Cool, so that sounds good. You see, well, he said, I'll tell you now, he said, you'll have to rough it. He said, we'll find a space for you in the back of the in the back of a lorry. He said it'll either be 15 on the weight or 30 on the weight. He said, don't think you're going to get a seat next to the driver because you're not going to get it. He said, because they'd all be relief drivers. He said, you'll have to make do. He said, well, you must make yourself, you have to do it for yourself. He said, see the sergeant and work it with him. You work it out, he said. Now, he said, if you want to do it, he said, that's it, you do it. And he said, I shall have to get you some clearance papers, he said, to leave this place. But he said, you'll have to leave that to me. He said, I'm not at all sure that I can do it. Well, he said, I've got to find out about that, but he said, I'm reasonably confident. So he said, you'll have to give me 2 days to home. He said, you better see me going tomorrow. He said, in the meantime, I'll see if I can get your clearance papers. Because I had to be cleared from the transit camp, he said, officially. And he could do it, he could arrange it. So anyway, he did it, and the whole thing went through, and I turned up when I was supposed to, and where I was supposed to, and that was it. We set off, and I don't know who we were making. We had a long way to go, but I mean, I didn't care. I was quite happy about it. I didn't care how long it took, so long as I was going to get there. But he was quite true what he said. He got so far up, and he went off away, and I carried on with it. But then, of course, you see, they had their own rations and everything, and they could brew a cup of tea when they wanted to. And well, it was not exactly home from home, but you know, at least I was getting there, and I was able to have a wash and have a shave when I wanted to, and I just sort of mucked in with them, you know. And I got right up. I went literally all the way back, really. When I say all the way back, I got into Austria. And so we stopped one night, and this sergeant said to me, he said, we may have to leave you here, he said. I'm not sure, he said. But when you, he said, have a good look round here, because I told him about this battalion transport with the 69 on it. Mm-hmm. I told him that.
That was on the
mud garden there, you know, 69. And so he said, have a good look round there. He said, but he said, come back in the morning here. He said, I'll tell you. Tell you then what's going to happen next, because he said we may not be going quite your way now. So he said, I'll just find out tonight. So I left it like that, you see. So we got through that night, and then the next morning, I don't know where we were. I didn't find somebody where we were, but I was having a look around the next morning, and I could see the various transport, 30 animals, 15 animals, jeeps, and one thing and all around, and in the hope that I spotted something with 69 on it. And all of a sudden, I spotted one, and it had six. So I made straight for it. I didn't know where the driver was or anything. And I didn't even know where I was. And slowly but surely, I managed to find the driver, and he was. I didn't recognise the driver, but he knew me. He knew me, and I said to him, are you going back to the battalion? And he said no. He said I'm going quite near. He said I'm going. There's no one there. Battalion headquarters. I'll think of it in a minute. He's told me the name of this place. He said, I can drop you off there He said, once I drop you off there, he said, with a bit of luck, he said, you'll find an advance party. With a bit of luck. He said, but he said, you'll have to have a look round when you get there. He said, but I think you might find that there's an advance party there. So he said, you can come with me if you want. He told me where he was going. So I said, all right. So I kept, got all my stuff together and off I went with him then. Well, I thanked this RAMC bloke, this sergeant, you know. And off I went with this other bloke. In what was our, one of our own transport. And I, if I could give you the name of that place, battalion headquarters in there, they're there all the time. Yeah. I'll have to think of it in a minute, but anyway, he dropped me in there. And that was, we sat up in the morning, and we got there at night, and it was just getting dark. And he said, well, he said, no, I'll just have to go now. He said, because,
John,
right?
I'm going in a minute, okay.
Right. So he said, I'm going to have to go now. He said, but, he said, I hope you find something. He said, but, he said, you look, he said, you'll find something in a minute. He said, you'll find somebody. And then I'm still looking around, and I could see there one or two more transports, you know, one or two more vehicles there. And they were ours. And all of a sudden I saw Frank Reynolds come out of some building on the right hand side. Oh, I was half pleased to see him. That was it. So of course I slowly but surely I made my way back. And, just a big slice of luck, really.